Welcome back to the American Journal. Getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program. Got a great lineup of guests joining me in a moment. Sonia Labasco is jumping back on with us. She's got an exclusive story she wants to tell you about in regards to John Cornyn. That's the Texas senator who is a little nervous these days that he might not get reelected back to the swamp because, well, no one likes him in Texas. But there's reasons for that. Like, this isn't just like he's kind of a mean person. No, he actually does nothing for Texans. He works more for the deep state operatives than Texans themselves. And we'll be walking you through just that because she had the not-so-pleasurable experience of having to work with his team in regards to passing legislation that would help law enforcement officers all around the country. So she'll be walking us through that. We'll also be joined by Raheem Kassam. Now, as many of you guys know, Raheem runs, he's the editor over at the National Pulse, and he's got a lot to talk about. He's been on the topic of John Cornyn. He's doing a great job. Him and I go back and forth with all of our finds. There's endless clips of Cornyn just being against the American people, being a swamp creature, being a rhino. There's so much content out there that it's really going to be hard for the White House to defend themselves if they get behind Cornyn. So again, we'll be talking about this with Raheem, and I look forward to it. But there's a lot there, a lot there. Speaking of that, let's talk about California for a second. You see, this is like a laughable story if it wasn't actual, in my opinion, the theft of donations. Jennifer Newsom, she is the wife of Gavin Newsom. There's a new report out there that she actually, and I had no idea that she runs a group that is supposed to go after gender discrimination and stereotypes. Ooh, whatever that means. But her company, Girls Club LLC, has apparently paid her out about $300,000 annually. Now, she also has apparently this like nonprofit, I'm guessing it is. And they've dished out about $3.7 million in the charity's annual income. That's a lot of money. Now, the reason why I think this is so concerning is, well, given the fact that Democrats don't seem to know what a woman is, how do you sit here and go over gender stereotypes and harmful norms? Through documentaries, by the way, they do this through documentaries and advocacy. What a noble cause. Noble, noble cause. Yeah, tell us how to be a little less sexist. It's just absolute stupidity. It's obviously a get-rich scheme. And yeah, they dish now millions. That's insane. Now, again, when you comb through all of it, this is the IRS filing, so it's just really interesting. But when you go through all of it specifically, apparently she earns from the nonprofit. She earns about $150,000 from that, plus the LLC for creator fees. Insane. Absolutely insane. But you know what's even more insane? Being the moron to donate to this cause. There are so many great nonprofits out there. If you're going to sit there and back someone with the last name Newsom, you're an absolute idiot. And most importantly, you deserve your money just to be stolen at that point. Are the taxes not high enough in California? You have all this disposable income? You could just toss it over to a Newsom? It's absolutely absurd. Absurd. All right, folks, we got more to dive into in just a second. So do not go anywhere. In the meantime, though, if you're going to head somewhere, I'd recommend the alexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, it's because there's the March mega sale that's going on right now. It's up to 40% off of some of your favorite supplements over at the shop right now. That includes NAD+, Ultimate Burn, Life Force, CMOS, MK Ultra, and so many more of our supplements over at the alexjonesstore.com. Plus, this is why you have to go there now. America's 250 shirt, the t-shirt, it's a limited edition shirt. It's right now $14.99. That's actually a really, really good deal. Why? Well, because that's 60% off. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the alexjonesstore.com today and make sure you snag these shirts before we run out. And also make sure you snag a couple of your favorite supplements before we run out of those as well. Because again, it's while supplies last. You never know when that will end. All right, guys, thealexjonesstore.com is where you want to head to. If you haven't downloaded the app either, I don't know what you're waiting on. alexjonesapp.com as well. Make sure you download it for your phone right now. Because you never know when that front door is going to shut. We're going to be moving over to our next operation. alexjonesapp.com. Oh, sorry, alexjonesapp.com.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big Panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at theauctionstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all here today. A lot going on in the third hour of the program. Raheem Kassam will be joining our show. He actually woke up for us. We're very thankful for that. He's not a morning person. I'm not a morning person either. But Raheem has been doing some incredible reporting. So I wanted to get him on the program today. And we look forward to having him on in just a little bit. He'll be joining us in like 25 minutes. But I wanted to get to this story first because I've been talking about it. And I know a lot of you at home are deeply concerned in regards to the attacks that have been carried out by both Israel and the United States in Iran. So many of us have been wondering, well, what are we going to do about the sleeper cells here in the homeland? Well, President Trump was asked that directly yesterday during his press conference in clip 13. Take a listen.
They've been trying for a long time. We've been very much on top of it. One of the things we have to do is get the Democrats to stop the Democrat shutdown, because, as you know, the apparatus that looks into that, Schumer and the Democrats have shut it down, which tells you they probably hate our country a lot. But the Democrats have to open that up. But we've got very, very good intelligence into that. We know a lot of different things that have happened that have been very bad. A lot of them came in during the Biden open border period. But we have them under, we're watching every single one of them. Yeah, we know a lot about them. The biggest problem we have is the Democrat shutdown. We know a lot about them. But the shutdown doesn't allow us to do what we have to do.
Now, I want to just put that in perspective a bit, because President Trump is saying we know a lot about them. But the reality of it is they're still in this country. Now, just take you back a couple of weeks ago when Kristi Noem, the DHS secretary, who has since been placed into another position, when she was testifying, she said that we can't find them. So can we find them? Or are we watching them? Why are we watching them? Why aren't we arresting them? There's a lot here. Joining me to discuss is my girl, Sonia Labasco. She's the executive director of the Air Marshal National Council. She's also a retired supervisor for the Federal Air Marshal as well. She is an ally in this fight, and she spent years and years in law enforcement. So we look forward to having this conversation with her. I also got some John Cornyn questions I'm going to throw in her way in just a little bit. But, you know, first, Sonia, I want to talk about this because, you know, President Trump is out there talking now about the sleeper cell issue. You know, Kristi Noem was asked about this while under oath, while testifying in front of both the House and the Senate Judiciary Committee. And she said, we can't find them. But now President Trump is saying they're keeping an eye on them. Which one do you think it is? And how bad is the threat here on the homeland? Because I would have thought, given the data, I asked DHS for the data and we compared it to what Joe Kent put out there. When we compare it, they only captured 7.8% of the known and suspected terrorists that were released under Joe Biden. So I would have thought by now, given the attacks that have been laid out over in Iran, that we would have actually seen these sleeper cells getting activated. But apparently the president says that, no, they've been shutting down communication for them. So what's going on here?
Well, Brianna, that's a toss-up, right? Which one do you believe? Do you believe the National Center for Terrorist Screening, Joe Kent, who has the actual data? Mm-hmm. Do you believe DHS Secretary, who actually has the data? Or do you believe the president's statement that we know where they are? So somewhere in the middle of all of that lies the truth. But unfortunately for the American people, we don't have time to have these discrepancies coming out from our intelligence agencies right now. We've got 18,000 terrorists in this country. By the way, I've not seen any mass news media that we've disabled these cells, that we've gone in and we've disrupted these cells. I've not actually seen one arrest. I mean, the two young boys that were arrested, you know, in New York City that were connected to ISIS, are they truly connected by ISIS? I'm not really sure, but I haven't seen any Iranian sleeper cells dismantled in the last 5 years.
Yeah, and those two individuals, too, are American citizens. One, his family comes from Afghanistan, and they were naturalized. And I believe the other one is Turkey, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Now, I am receiving DHS alerts, and I constantly am asking questions in regards to how many have they captured. And again, I gave you the 7.8% number because for months now I've been asking for the figures, and that's the numbers we've ran here. And that's in comparison to what Joe Kent put out there. So we're trying to work with those figures here. But we're not getting much in the way of the announcements from DHS regarding the sleeper cells. The last time I saw a press release go out regarding anyone who had ties to the Iranian regime was back in January of 2026 of this year. In it, they captured, I think, three of them, and they were ordered to be deported. So those are three individuals, but that's three of the thousands who were released. I think the number that Kent put out there was either 14 or 18,000 of known or suspected terrorists were released into this country. I mean, it's such an insane figure when you put out all of those pieces of information. And then there was an ABC report that was also released yesterday as well, saying that the U.S. intelligence officials have intercepted encrypted communication believed to have originated in Iran, which was meant to trigger those operations. It's an operational trigger, is the exact quote, of the sleeper cells operating abroad. So this is ABC News saying that they believe that these sleeper cells have been activated. Now, Sonia, the reason why I find this so concerning is right now we're dealing with a DHS shutdown, and a lot of these DHS employees you actually represent. I want to walk our audience through what that actually means, whether this is something that could possibly be a threat or a terror attack carried out in the homeland, maybe something up in the air through TSA. The reality of it is TSA agents aren't being paid right now. And those who are, and I'm not a fan of TSA, but those who are employees of TSA, this is now, I believe, the third time they've been held hostage in this political gamble over the last 6 months. But there's long lines at TSA because TSA employees aren't showing up. Take a listen to clip 17.
And then I walked over here, and my jaw dropped.
Travelers were shocked to see massive TSA lines span across Armstrong International Airport. Countless people were in the long line that spanned from the parking garage around the airline check-in area and ended on the second level.
I had to weave through a bunch of lines that was actually just one line for the security that wove all around, and it was, where does it start? And they're like, in the garage.
According to airport leaders, it's an impact from the partial government shutdown. On Sunday, they experienced a shortage of TSA workers, causing major delays through the security checkpoint.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. This is crazy.
The long wait times caused many travelers to miss their flights.
We get here, we go through customs, and it's so packed in here, you can't even find the direction they're trying to give.
No one wants to stand in this line for over an hour. So,
I mean, I've flown in and out of New Orleans a lot, and it's, you know, a big hub. So I'm like, they have the TSA on lock. It's never been like this.
All right. So obviously it's never been like this. I think most people are not used to seeing 3 to 4 hour wait time, Sonia. What's going on internally with these agents over at TSA?
Well, Brianna, they're not being paid. We know that. And this is, unfortunately, the third government shutdown they've had to deal with in the last 12 months. And it's absolutely dangerous. If you think about national security being used in a pawn at a political game at this moment, individuals, TSA is not responsible for deportations. They're not out on the street with ICE, you know, removing people. I know that that's the big rub in Congress right now. But there's no way that you should be using national security assets against the American people, because you're trying to hold out and get your way in regards to ICE reform. If you look at those videos, what shows me all of these individuals located in one area, these large lines at the airport, that in itself is creating a potential for a critical incident. We've had several bomb threats that have been called in the last few days. We don't know when those are going to be real. And unfortunately, all those individuals and passengers in those areas that are lined up in those airports, to me, is a critical incident waiting to happen.
Yeah, and it's also getting real bad right now because it's also affecting CISA, which we know the Iranians love to lead cyber attacks in this country. But it's also affecting your federal air marshals as well. How is it affecting them?
What's really bad, they're not being paid, and, you know, their duties are being split. We're still on deportation flights. There's some air marshals that are disarmed. They're not flying on commercial aircraft in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then we've got the other side of the air marshals that are doing ground-based duties. But unfortunately, the agency just asked all the air marshals to download this third-party tracking app on every one of their phones. It's called ITAC. Mm-hmm. And this tracking app now is held by a third-party server. We're trying to get more information, mm-hmm. but it's tracking every air marshal across the United States and internationally, showcasing their location and how many of them are working in a team. So this needs to stop. We filed a complaint with DHSOIG, Joseph Kafuri. Our air marshal should not be tracked by a third party. We're in the middle of a war right now, and we need to start acting in this country like we recognize that.
Well, Sonia, why would they require tracking of the air marshals? It doesn't even make any sense. What was the excuse being used to push this?
They're trying to say it's for the air marshal's safety. So if they can't see one of them, or one of them, you know, goes missing somewhere, which I don't know how that's going to happen because we work in teams and pairs. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely, it's probably another contract that DHS has procured somewhere that someone's making a lot of money for this ITAC app. But it's absolutely, it's security operationally unsafe. And they are ordering the air marshals. They're telling them they will be disciplined up until removal if they don't download this app that can track them 24/7.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's deeply, deeply concerning. And we'll look for some answers on that front. But Sonia, I want to talk to you about this story because, you know, I'm in Texas and I think Texans are really fired up about the runoff race that's about to take place between for the U.S. Senate. It's going to be between Ken Paxton and then the current U.S. Senator, John Cornyn. Now, a lot of Texans do not like John Cornyn, and there's many reasons not to like him. We'll walk our audience through that in a little bit. But I wanted to get to this story because you have been someone who's been trying to push and advocate for law enforcement officers as someone who's spent decades working in law enforcement, running these agencies. This is a mission that's close to your heart. And this has been it's crazy to think of it, but it's been over a decade since five Dallas police officers were ambushed in downtown Dallas. Now, again, five of them were killed, and it was absolutely gut-wrenching when you went through the details and you saw what unraveled. But when it comes to the details as to how to respond to something like this, it depends on the local prosecutors, whether you have a liberal prosecutor or not. So you went forward and started pushing for a boost in our federal legislation. You pushed forward legislation, the Back the Blue Act, which was introduced to Congress to strengthen these laws. And this is something that you were working with John Cornyn's office on. Now, what this would have specifically done, it would have made it that there was a federal crime to initiate or to target, I should say, intentionally target killing or attempting to kill law enforcement officers, establishing a mandatory minimum prison sentence. Again, you'd want that to make sure these liberal prosecutors don't get off and allow these people to get off. You'd also were pushing for the allowing of the death penalty to be implemented or life imprisonment in federal cases involving the murder of a federal officer or just a regular local, state or county official as well. So you've been trying to push this forward, and you worked with Cornyn's office. How'd that go? All right. Looks like her video froze up a little bit. We'll get to that in a second once we get her back in the loop. Let's turn. You know what? Since we're on the topic of John Cornyn and we're going to get Sonia Lobosco's video feedback up, let's talk about Cornyn and how much of a rhino he is. In clip 18, that's the first one I want to play for you right now. Clip 18, John Cornyn, he thinks highly of George Floyd, and he had no problem doing just that and giving a passionate little speech. It lasted 16 minutes long, but we'll cut to the gritty of it. Let's take a listen to clip 18.
Madam President, ours is a nation with a split screen of a battle on two fronts. One is the pandemic that we've been fighting now for many months, and the other is to continue the fight to defeat racial injustice that has sadly divided our nation since its very inception. 1 week ago today, George Floyd, a native Houstonian, was tragically died in the custody of a law enforcement officer. As the gut-wrenching video of his death spread, so has the passion and the anger among all of us who wonder, how can something like that happen? Our Constitution guarantees every American the right to protest injustice, and I believe we all have a responsibility to stand up for what's right and condemn what is plainly wrong. People of all color, backgrounds, and ages are demanding that justice be served
all right,
in the
so
case
John
of George
Floyd. Being the rhino that we all know he is, pushing the George Floyd lies. And he thinks very highly of the man who put a loaded gun to a pregnant woman's belly and was high on fentanyl the day that he died. But again, this is why John Cornyn is being pushed out of Texas. Texans have had enough of him. Back to joining me is Sonia Lobosco. She froze up a bit there, but we wanted to get back to this because, again, this is an exclusive story because Sonia actually had the displeasure of working with Cornyn's office, I'd say, given the fact that and Sonia, we've had you on multiple times to talk about your fight to help defend law enforcement officers, and you tried to do your very best to bring this fight back to Cornyn and to have him help you pass legislation that would help these officers in the future, especially when given the fact that a lot of liberal prosecutors don't prosecute them to the full extent of the law. You wanted to make sure there was another extra step that could be taken so the feds would step in. It was the Back the Blue Act. That was the one that you were pushing for. It would allow the death penalty be to utilize in these cases, also life in prison. It'd also make it a federal crime to target these law enforcement officers. So tell us, how did it go when you were working with Cornyn's office and pushing for the Back the Blue Act? All right. So it looks like Sonia froze up again. We'll try to get her at least by phone because I want to actually have this conversation with her. So they'll work on that in just a moment. But for now, let's keep talking because I think there's a lot going on here in this front. Let's go to clip 14 because, you know, when we're talking about the push here in the Senate right now that's going on right now, it's infuriating because there's a lot of key players who are going out there right now. They're targeting Ken Paxton. Now, Ken Paxton is one of the best state AGs that we have. And so it doesn't seem to make any sense why they're targeting him. But in clip 14, Caroline Wren does a great job at outlining just that. Take a listen.
Why is D.C. so against him? And it is, of course, you have to follow the money. Go look at the money behind this primary. It is all the major corporations and the lobbyists. And you know why they don't want Ken Paxton? Because Ken Paxton does not answer to money. He has, in fact, sued every major corporation in this country as a Texas attorney general on behalf of the people of Texas. He has sued BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street for conspiring to manipulate the energy markets. He sued Meta and forced them into a $1.4 billion settlement for violating our privacy rights. He took on the CCP by suing Sheen Temu for toxic products and spyware. He sued the opioid companies, securing billions. He sued all the major insulin manufacturers. He sued Eli Lilly. These are the same companies that fund groups like Senate Leadership Fund and the NRSC and others. This is why they're pouring millions in. And this is why you, the people, have got to step up to fight these corporations, to fight the D.C. establishment, get Ken Paxton in so that you actually have a senator. It's very rare to have this, a senator who is going to fight for you and not for the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, and that's exactly what we need in this country. We need somebody who is going to do just that. Ken Paxton, I get the emails all the time from his media team, is the only AG out there constantly fighting and pushing back. He's gone after the CCP. He's gone after these greedy companies, these pharmaceutical companies. So it makes sense why they're pushing for John Cornyn. In fact, when you look at the spending that was done on John Cornyn just to make it into the runoff race, which is an absolute disgrace, he had to spend over $100 million. $100 million, folks. Do you know how insane that is? And again, a lot of that money came from the rhinos in the Republican Party who are trying to push for Cornyn to stay in. Cornyn is not a Republican to anyone's standards, but he's a protective member of the deep state, and that's the reason why they need him in there. Now, all of a sudden, he's like, oh, I was watching a clip of him. Oh, we can't look at Ken Paxton because Ken Paxton, well, Ken Paxton's a problem. Ken Paxton is not electable. Ken Paxton is beloved by the people of Texas. You put Ken Paxton in the race, guess what? He is going to win by a landslide. Even the favorable polls, the ones that Democrats run, has Ken Paxton still winning. You could put the biggest liberal that you want on the left to run as a Democrat. Guess what? Ken Paxton's still winning. Now we have Sonia Lobosco. Sonia, I wanted to talk to you. We've got about 4 minutes here about what it was like in your experience to work with John Cornyn. Tell us about it.
Hey, sorry about that, Brianna. We had some unstable internet here. Not sure what's happening. I hope Iran's not trying to snuff us all out on our internet today. But yeah, it was a 10-year journey working with Senator Cornyn. After the Dallas police officers, there were 5 that were murdered and 11 that were injured in one incident. I said, something has got to give. We have got to make the penalty so strong. When someone thinks about killing a police officer, they're going to know no matter what state that they're in that they're going to face the death penalty. So I reached out to Senator Cornyn's office after that tragedy in Dallas and began working with him on Back the Blue Act. So I've been working for 10 years now And that bill is still stalled. It's not moved anywhere for 10 years to enhance the penalties of anyone that wants to kill not only a law enforcement officer, but a firefighter or an EMS personnel as well. So over a decade, I've trusted Senator Cornyn. I thought he was going to get the job done. And each year I go back to Congress to try to work on this bill. And it ends up in the same place. It ends up being stalled somewhere and to die in the bills that never get passed. So this was a very, very important piece of legislation for law and order. And I hope President Trump will really think about the endorsement before he makes it regarding who is going to really come out here and produce law and order for our first responders in the community to keep us safe. Because I have to tell you, John Cornyn so far hasn't been able to get the job done.
Well, I mean, Sonia, the fact that you've been fighting this fight for as long as you have tells me everything you need to know. I mean, this guy doesn't care about Texans. And we hear him time and time again. You know, Charlie Kirk, there was a soundbite that I was able to dig into. He's going out there and Charlie Kirk saying, Hey, listen, guys, this is, by the way, this is right after, and I know you wanted to bring this up, when he was booed for pushing for gun legislation. Charlie Kirk said, listen, he doesn't care about what Texans think. He, in fact, just cares about the big donors, the big lobbyists, the big corporations that are to keep funding him, because he knows that he's lost Texans with all of this, that's where his loyalty is going to lie. Do you believe that's true? Because it seems like that's how Texans feel around here.
I absolutely believe it's true, Brianna. You have to look at his track record. He's been in Congress, what, almost for 24 years. Look at what is the you know, production back to the American people. What has he done to increase the livelihood and the lives of Texas? So I really have to think, and you have to look, he's being pushed to be endorsed by Thune, who is actually blocking the filibuster being taken away. Look at the establishment. That should be red flags to the voters in Texas. You want someone like Ken Paxton, who is a grassroots candidate, who cares about our country, who's a hardline conservative, that's going to go in, and he's going to do the job that's been he's been tasked to do. If you look at these establishment set rhinos, they are looking out for themselves, their wallets, their big donors. They're not listening to their constituents, and their records should speak for themselves.
Yeah, well, Sonia, I'm actually right now in the process of asking Ken Paxton's team if they would get behind your bill, the Back the Blue Act that you're looking to push forward. And we look forward to hearing back from them. I have a feeling that Ken Paxton will back all of this because, again, he is one of the very few in Texas who's out here every day battling it out with the liberal prosecutors. I know here in Travis County in Austin, Texas, he's been very aggressive in trying to do as much as he can to battle it out with the Soros-backed prosecutor. But he's restricted. But I know on a federal level, if he were to make his way into the Senate, I think this would be a top priority for him. But I won't answer for his campaign. I've just reached out to them to get them to directly address this issue. And I look forward to bringing that to our audience. Sonia Lobosco, thank you for all the incredible work you do. Not only are you out there fighting for these federal agents, but you're also helping human trafficking victims. And it is an honor to call you a friend and have you on the show as always. Sonia, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. And God bless America, Brianna.
God bless America, Sonia. We sure do love this great country. Sonia Lobosco, one of the incredible individuals out there trying her very best to fight all of the swamp creatures, get really important legislation pushed through, and also advocate for those who are trying to save this country on a federal law enforcement level. And so we're honored to have her on the program as well. All right, folks, we've got a lot more happening in just a little bit. Raheem Kassam will be joining the program. He's the editor over at the National Pulse. And he's also the co-owner of Butterworth's, the restaurant in D.C. It's actually a really good one. Nick Sorter took me there, and it was great. Well, he'll be joining me in just a little bit to break down the John Cornyn saga, because he's been digging into Cornyn's past, and look forward to having him on in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the March Mega Sale going on right now. It's up to 40% off of thealexjonesstore.com.
About to embark on a great adventure.
President Truman has chosen you and your crew to lead a highly classified mission. Where do we pick up our escort?
There will be no escort. All I can tell you is that this cargo can end the war. You can save millions of lives.
You are my crew, and our survival depends on all of you functioning as one unit.
Yes, sir!
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction.
Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds.
Captain! There's something in the water!
It's a Japanese bomb!
All hands, your battle stations, brace for impact.
Yo-yi!
Hasha!
Of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations, so I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robinson was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexhomestore.com.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is the American Journal with Brianna Morello, live streaming on band.video next around the globe.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you guys are all here. Third hour of the show is going well over here. It was a little chaotic with all the news breaking earlier today and trying to keep up with the headlines, but there was an important headline that dropped yesterday that I want to make sure was brought to your attention. It's in regards to something that many people deem as very controversial. I'm talking about the President of the United States potentially endorsing John Cornyn. Now, it's not someone you would think the president would get behind, given the fact that John Cornyn is a Trump hater and has been a Trump hater for many years now. In fact, he's done everything possible to uppercut President Trump and his MAGA agenda. So it was quite surprising to hear that the president actually might be getting behind this candidate. Well, according to Politico, who has now put out this article in regards to all of this, they're saying the president has actually delayed the endorsement of either Paxton or Cornyn. Now, again, they're in a runoff race. This is obviously going to be a very heated one, given the fact that Cornyn had to spend about $100 million on just getting into the runoff race. And that's because Texans don't like him. Texans really don't like him. John Cornyn has done everything possible to just spit in the faces of those Texans and just commit his loyalty to both the deep state operatives who are trying to control this country, as well as the big corporations that continue to fund him. Now Cornyn's in a bit of a sticky situation given the fact that he has a legitimate challenge and someone who has been fighting for Texans since day one. Joining me to discuss all of the obnoxious things that John Cornyn has said over these last few years and his lack of care for Americans and Texans who are looking to hold deep state accountable, obviously, but most importantly, fight for their rights, is Raheem Kassam. He is the editor over at the National Pulse, and he's been doing incredible work over there at digging into Cornyn's past and obviously his present as well. He's also the co-owner of Butterworth's. But, you know, I had the honor of going to that restaurant in D.C., and I have to say, Raheem, Nick Sorter took me there. I didn't know it was your restaurant at first until, you know, we sat down and he had mentioned you a couple of times. Like, I wonder if Raheem's here. It's a great restaurant. I highly recommend it to anyone who's in Washington, D.C. to definitely check it out. Raheem, thank you again for being here. We appreciate it. I wanted your reaction to the news that President Trump is going to delay the endorsement of either candidates, and it's all due to the Save America Act, according to Politico.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you for having me. I think I was about as mortified as any right-headed conservative would be when I heard that President Trump might endorse John Cornyn in Texas. And Texans don't need a restaurateur with a British accent from Washington, D.C. to lecture them on the pitfalls of John Cornyn. They've had to live with it for a very long time. He's been a stain on the state, quite frankly. He has been in opposition not just to President Trump's legislative agenda and his political direction of travel for the last decade, but he's also helped the deep state. He's also slapped Mueller and Comey on the back. He played along with the Russia hoax. He tried to block the border wall. You know, there are all sorts of examples in John Cornyn's recent political history, let alone his 30-year political history, that show him to be completely out of step with where most conservatives in the United States are today. We started to look over the course of the weekend at his staff and who he's got running his campaign. And the thing is the same all the way through. The thread that runs through the Cornyn crew is anti-MAGA. It's anti-America first. They're very brazen and open about it. And even to the point where I don't think they're just rhinos, Brianna. I think some of these people are closeted leftists. You know, one of his staff, Matt Makowiak, has written glowingly about George Floyd. He attempted to write a hagiography and filed it to me at the National Pulse as if I was going to run that story. That was in 2021, and we rejected it outright. There are all sorts of things in the Cornyn crew that should make Texas voters especially declare themselves full-throatedly against the man. But what's really interesting here is the Save America Act being a part of all of this, right? So you've got the president who is now trying to negotiate the passage of one of the most important pieces of legislation that he will ever be able to sign. And he has to use, I have great sympathy for him, he has to use every bit of leverage that he can to try and get that passed. Ken Paxton, the other candidate in the race, the person who has stood shoulder to shoulder with President Trump and the MAGA movement for years now, even he understands that. He said, look, if they can pass the Save America Act, then I will even offer to stand down in this runoff. It doesn't look like John Thune, Leader Thune, or the rhinos around him really, truly want to get that done. So here's how I look at it now. And everybody who asks me about it, here's what I tell them. I say, this moment in history is like when Dave Brat beat Eric Cantor, right? It was an unwinnable race, they said originally. You can't beat the minority leader. You're never going to be able to do it. And Dave Brat didn't just beat him, but humiliated him, sent him packing, sent him out of D.C. And it is truly my belief that if you didn't have those Tea Party-style victories all the way back when, then you wouldn't have had the MAGA movement be able to come along as it did and when it did. All of those things, they're connected by a thread. And this is that moment again. It's the outsider versus the establishment. And I seriously, seriously hope that Texas voters take that as seriously as it is.
Yeah, and I think you made a a very good point. And I want to keep highlighting it to our audience. If you're not familiar with Texas politics, we often, by the way, when I got here, because I got here a couple of months ago, when I got to Texas, you know what they said to me? They said, oh, we're a red state. But when you actually look at their state legislature, you realize very quickly that they're not actually a red state, that in fact, they often do have Democrats running on the Republican ticket, and they often do get elected. And so they've been pushing the left's agenda in this state rather than the Republican agenda that their voters actually want. And so many people, so many voters who probably just don't have the time to sit here and dissect all of these candidates just quickly jump on board and vote down the ticket, and they don't realize that they're actually electing a Democrat. And so that's one of the big key issues here. And I do truly believe that you're spot on in that regard about John Cornyn, because John Cornyn, we played that clip about John Cornyn speaking on the House floor right after George Floyd, or should I say St. George Floyd, was killed. He refused to obviously say anything about the fentanyl part in this, but most importantly, went out there and pretend like George Floyd was a victim, and then played into the racial argument that those on the left wanted to make. And again, that's something that the left does. So it doesn't seem to make any sense. But, you know, you, and I kind of want to get you to weigh in on this, you also alluded to the fact that Ken Paxton is willing to step out of the race if Republicans in the Senate can get the Save America Act passed, us also including the filibuster as well. Do you think that's a good move for Paxton, though? Because I feel like Paxton is the best bet we have right now. And John Cornyn's come out there and said he's in favor of both of those things getting pushed through. So do you think that if they actually do this, that Paxton really should step out of this?
Look, I think if Cornyn and Senate leadership really were being honest, they would say, we're not that into this thing. You know, remember, these are the people, again, and I bring their staff into it too, because it's imperative to understand, you know, how these Senate offices work, not just how the member operates and votes. You know, all of them, to a man, refused to say that the 2020 election was stolen, refused to even say that there was anything questionable about it. You had Joe Biden locking down the Capitol. Remember, I mean, I live two blocks from the U.S. Capitol. I remember vividly the troops on the streets with the long guns, the barbed wire fences, the inauguration by night, you know, all of the illegitimacy. And then, of course, you know, what was that all followed with was some of the worst 4 years America has ever encountered. The border completely thrown open, a president that was directing things by autopen, which who knows whether it was him or not who was actually behind any of that. And we still haven't got to the bottom of all these things. Packets of cocaine found in the White House. You know, all of these things have led us to where we are at the moment. And all of those things could have been stopped if people like John Cornyn and his staff and his colleagues and their staff actually stood up and told the truth about what happened in that election. So I don't buy that they are now suddenly interested in securing America's elections. They weren't interested in it back then. And I shouldn't imagine that they're particularly interested in it now. I think the Save America Act is one of the most critical pieces of legislation that could ever be passed in our lifetimes. And the political establishment is terrified of something like that because it has cheated for so very long. And by the way, Republicans have done it too. You know, there are plenty of episodes around the country over the last several decades where Republicans in office have cheated in their elections also. And this makes all of that less and less likely. For Ken Paxton, to address your question directly, for Ken Paxton to announce that he is going to step out of the race or would step out of the race if they pass the Save America Act, if they remove the filibuster, whatever it is, it wasn't just about, you know, how sacrificial he's willing to be in all of this. What it was really about is nationalizing that election. It makes it a referendum now. Texas, you're voting in a referendum on the Save America Act. You're voting in a referendum on the direction of travel for the MAGA movement and the direction of travel for conservatism. And the direction of travel for the country writ large. The stakes really are that high. I don't want anybody to think that this is hyperbole. I'm not particularly hyperbolic in my rhetoric. This really does matter. It really is the moment. And I keep saying to people from all around the country, I say, if I were you, I would donate to Ken Paxton, even if you're not from Texas, and then I'd put some money on Ken Paxton winning, and you'll make your money back. Because I think they're not going to pass the Save America Act. I think they have no intention on passing the Save America Act. And I think Ken Paxton, with Trump's endorsement or without, can beat John Cornyn.
Yeah, and the numbers prove just that. I know you guys have posted this up on your website as well. The National Pulse published this tweet that breaks down the data. I mean, Paxton beats him whether he's endorsed or not, whether he endorses Cornyn or whether he doesn't get an endorsement at all, if the president stays neutral on all of this. So, yeah, I would say that this is actually very favorable to Paxton, regardless of how this goes. And again, just to highlight to our audience, I mean, just to make it into the runoff race, John Cornyn had to pour in about $100 million compared to Ken Paxton. I believe it was $4 million. So there's that. I was also there at the Paxton party as well. When the results were coming in, they were trickling in. And it was there was just so much energy in the room, so much media actually as well. I think some people thought that he was going to take it that night and there wasn't going to be a runoff. And that's the reason why the media came out and they were covering it extensively. But when you look at it and you compare to what John Cornyn had in it, compared to the show of people who showed up for him, it was nothing, absolutely nothing. So I think that also kind of highlights this as well. But I want to get to clip 16 right now, Raheem, because this highlights how much of a horrible person I think John Cornyn truly is. He's been holding up President Trump's agenda from day one. A lot of his key confirmation votes, he's been standing in the way of. Specifically, too, this article comes back up, too. Russ Vogt, who is probably one of my favorite picks for President Trump right now, who's done a great job over at OMB, but he tried to hold him up and stall it out. And when you compare that to how he spoke so highly of Merrick Garland, it's quite concerning. Take a listen to clip 16.
This morning, I had a very good conversation with Judge Merrick Garland, who President Biden has nominated for Attorney General. Judge Garland's extensive legal experience makes him well-suited to lead the Department of Justice, and I appreciated his commitment to keep politics out of the Justice Department. That is my number one criterion for who should be the next head of the Department of Justice as Attorney General. And I think both sides should support a depoliticized Justice Department. And that's what I hope Judge Garland wants confirmed.
It's such a joke, but here he is backing Merrick Garland. We know that Republicans did cross over to confirm him. But when it comes to people like Matt Gaetz getting confirmed as AG, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't back Ed Martin either getting in. So there's a common theme here. They're okay to cross over for the deep state operatives who I believe have infiltrated places like the DOJ and elsewhere. But when it comes to President Trump's agenda, they will stonewall it and stand in the way. I mean, again, how is the president even considering John Cornyn at this point?
Yeah, look, I mean, I find myself tiring of the phrase rhino, right? Because they're not just rhinos. They may be pro-life. They're pro-life Democrats is what they are. And we need to be addressing them as such. It's perhaps the only issue that they side with us on anymore, is the life issue. Everything else, we can go to hell. And I really think that Texas voters, you know, conservatives, if you're looking at your neighbors with, you know, yard signs, MAGA, whatever, I think it's worth checking in on them and saying, hey, you're not voting for Cornyn, are you? You know, just give them a little friendly nudge in the right direction. Because unfortunately, whether you know them or not, and I don't, there are people who voted for him in that primary. And I struggle to understand, especially with what a lot of Texas is currently going through. I think the situation with Islam, for instance, in the state, really tells you about a direction of travel that you desperately, desperately need to avoid. Listen, I wrote a book in 2017 called No-Go Zones, and the strapline was how Sharia is coming to a neighborhood near you. And everybody at the time called me a mentalist. Well, I am a mentalist, but not for that reason. The reality is the leadership in Texas has not well represented its people. And I think about, you know, it's 190 years ago since the Alamo earlier this week. And I think about the sacrifices that was made by Texians over years and years to establish the state, to keep it up, to make it red, because it once was, and now having been infiltrated by, as I say, pro-life Democrats. I also think it's really interesting to note, you know, who's on John Cornyn's side here and why those stories got leaked to the press a week ago saying he's just about to get the endorsement, you know, in Axios and Politico and all of the establishment papers of record. The Atlantic magazine got the scoop. Well, who is it getting the scoop from? Well, that would be John Cornyn's consultants. Who are John Cornyn's consultants? Well, primarily Chris LaCivita. Chris LaCivita actually served on the Trump campaign in 2024 and has used the cachet and the political capital and the actual capital, the financial capital, that he built up working for President Trump. He is now deploying that against the MAGA movement. These are dirty people. They are filthy people. They hate you. They hate me. And rightly so. There are plenty of reason to do so because we will continue reporting on them and exposing them. And I'm grateful that you do the same thing. I can't stress it too much, and I know I'm repeating myself, but I want people to understand just how, you know, imperative this moment is. It is that Cantor-Brat fight. It is a fight for the direction of the state and indeed the nation and, of course, conservatism writ large. There's plenty of examples. You raised that clip there, but there's plenty of examples of John Cornyn siding with Democrats. I'm yet to find real examples of him siding with MAGA conservatives.
Yeah, and now he's sitting here pretending like he has to be reelected to push forward with President Trump's agenda. I actually want to play clip 15 for you. There's a bunch of clips these days that I could play, Raheem, and we'd be here probably for my whole 3-hour show tomorrow if we were to go through it all. But this one is quite impressive because he made a very controversial claim by saying that radical people are the ones that are going to be electing Ken Paxton in the primary. But now he's had to backtrack a little bit because it did cause a lot of heated back and forth on that front. But let's play clip 15 and how he's trying to backtrack.
When you have a very small percentage of the electorate actually turning out to vote, strange things can happen. And I want as big a turnout as we can possibly have of Republicans who want to maintain Texas as a red state and to help President Trump during the remainder 2 years of his office.
Following up on that, is that what you meant when you talked about radical people showing up, I think, in an interview in recent days?
Well, I just mean people who maybe are not representative of the Republican Party. I've spent decades now helping to build the Republican Party in Texas to make it the dominant party that it is and to turn Texas red. I don't want to jeopardize any of that by nominating somebody who's unelectable in November.
All right. So he seems to think that Ken Paxton's unelectable, but the data tells us otherwise. He also refers to refers to his role in all of this as helping President Trump, which is such a noble cause, given the fact that over these last few years, he's actually done the exact opposite. But again, he still thinks that you and I, Raheem, are radical people. And he can't seem to rationalize why we would. I'm a little radical. That's why I have a show on InfoWars. But he tends to think that's the case. I think it's laughable, though, given the fact that he's getting endorsements. When he is getting endorsements, it's from, Jasmine Crockett? I mean, this is such a joke that Texans over here just see right through it.
You know, the point is not that he calls us radical. The point is that he thinks radicalism is a bad thing. You know, he would probably listen to Barry Goldwater's, extremism quote and think it was a bad thing and think that Goldwater was a bad thing. In fact, he almost certainly thinks that Barry Goldwater was a bad thing. And his staff, again, to come back to it, you know, yesterday we caught one of them who had served as his political director recently calling a Paxton voter trailer park trash. This is the new deplorables. These are who these people think that you are. They think you're scum. They don't want to be near you. They think you smell. And that is very clear, not just amongst, obviously, you know, what you heard from Cornyn there himself, but from how his staff treats people. Matt Mikowiak, again, on January the 6th, 2021, tweeted, "We are witnessing domestic terrorism." His quote was liked at the time by none other than Chris LaCivita. He has railed against President Trump. He has pushed the Russia hoax. He said once, quote, "It is outrageous, dangerous, and ridiculous for an American president to take Putin's word over the U.S. intelligence community. No American should offend it," end quote. Well, it turns out that we know now that the American intelligence community was lying to us. It was lying to us about the Hunter Biden laptop. It was lying to us about the Russia hoax. But here you have Cornyn staffers, and I found all of these tweets. And by the way, there are more to come. So if you're interested in this kind of thing and getting the real skinny on these people, go to thenationalpulse.com over the next couple of days because we'll be putting more of these up. The sorts of things that they've said about MAGA media, they've tried to actually work with censors and censorship companies, those companies that review whether or not you're fake news or not, to try and get the likes of Breitbart News banned and demonetized. These are who these people are. And again, A lot of people might be tearing their hair out hearing me say this and go, well, then why does President Trump flirting with the idea of endorsing him? Listen, again, you have to understand that he is in a tricky situation with trying to get this bill passed. He's almost handing it over to you, the voter, at this point and going like, hey, I need you to have my back on this because my hands are a little bit tied by how we get this legislation passed on Capitol Hill, how it makes its way to my desk. I'm not making excuses for the man, but that is, as I understand it, what is going through his head currently. I could sit here, like you said, I could sit here and talk all day about this sort of thing. But that really stuck with me yesterday when that guy called that lady on the internet trailer park trash, because they'd never say the same for. It's not just, by the way, it's not just a class divide. It's a racial epithet. He would never say that to a black or brown person, something like that. He would never call Jasmine Croquette a hood rat, despite the fact that she's a hood rat, right? This is a particular thing that they're doing that is racially charged against white people, and it's a class divide between what he perceives as him being the bow-tied, rich country club conservative and ordinary MAGA voters, the great deplorables of the world. And I cannot tell you how angry that makes me.
Yeah. No, it does. It does. And like you said it actually really well. It's the new deplorable. And I think that's what they're going at with all of this. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. I don't see it going well for them, Raheem, but we'll sit back and watch. Raheem,
you should get that lady on your show, by the way. Ask her how it felt being called trailer park trash by this Cornyn operative.
I will.
I'm sure she has some choice words for him.
I will. We'll get her on. Yeah, because I like that idea, too. Well, that's the thing, too, because you never hear from the other person's perspective in all of this. And, you know, that'll be enlightening. So we'll definitely do that. Thank you, Raheem Kassam, for joining us today, folks. If you haven't done so already, definitely add the National Pulse to your reading cycle. You could subscribe over on the website itself. That's the best way to get it directly to your inbox. But they do incredible work. We always use their reporting here on the American Journal as well. So we strongly rely on that. Plus, also got to check out his restaurant if you're in Washington, D.C. I can't speak today. It's Butterworth's. That's where you could find him at in Washington, D.C. We appreciate you, Raheem. Thank you for joining the show today.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers, my friend. I know it was an early morning for him, and we are grateful to have him on the show. So thank you for that. Folks, I wanted to point you guys all to a story that also dropped, and I want to make sure we don't miss this one. But there was a report that just came out regarding the latest in the Epstein files as you kind of sift through all the information that was dropped out there. This one is the latest. There's a new report that an inmate over at the correctional facility apparently told the FBI that on the morning of Epstein's death, which was August 10th of 2019, that she overheard, I'm sorry, this inmate, it's a guy, overheard the prison guards saying and talking about, dude, you killed that dude, to one of the officers. So again, that's one of the claims, and that's one of the documents that has just been released. This is the account, which appears to be of someone who was interviewed. It's a 5-page handwritten FBI interview report. So just one of the many layers to all of this, the Epstein saga. Do you still believe he killed himself? Well, I don't think any of our audience members actually believe that. All right, that does it for me on the American Journal today. We got a jam-packed program we're working on for you guys tomorrow, so we look forward to you being here. In the meantime, though, the Alex Jones Show starts next, so don't go anywhere.
InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried ultramethylene blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexandroy.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide, 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like ultramethylene blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March mega sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexandroy.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.